The following program does not necessarily reflect the opinions and viewpoints of the staff and management of this station.
Good morning. This is Carol Gordon of Heart Mentors International, broadcasting from News Radio 1000 KTOK. My husband, Lewis, and I founded Heart Mentors International, where hearts and lives are changed. We are a generational ministry called to proclaim the message of the healing of hearts, marriages, and families. The crying challenge to keep families whole and healthy is so great today that it calls for a strong, proactive, biblical approach to life. Our Heavenly Father designed marriage and family before the fall, and He knows how to build healthy family relationships now. We have available help from heaven. Lewis and I were married 46 years. We had almost 22 years in our honeymoon of healing before he moved to heaven in 2002. The Lord continually urged our growth and refining by His Word. We encountered many of the same issues your family may be going through in the unfolding life of our family. We've had marriages that ended in divorce, financial pressures, prison terms, health problems, misunderstandings, reconciliations, and many other challenges. The Lord faithfully brought us through them. We learned to lean on Him, and He healed, strengthened, and is maturing us. Early on, He told us to give to others what He taught us. In 19 years of ministry together, Lewis and I saw hundreds of families, thousands of individuals, go up to a new level. With others in my family, we are now in our 18th year of weekly meetings and on Tuesday evenings at 7 at Faith Fellowship Church, 900 North May Avenue, where we share and pray for needs. Don't struggle alone. You can call in for prayer at our office Monday through Thursday, 9 to 4, at 405-495-HOPE. That's 495-4673. Again, this is Carol Gordon, and I'm delighted to have as my guest again today Craig Hill from Family Foundations International Ministries in Colorado.
Great to be with you again, Carol.
I'm glad to have you with us in October and again last week. And it's just wonderful, the divine connections that the Lord has given me.
Yes, and it is. That's true.
It was great fun when I found out I could interview people over the radio, over the telephone,
and not have to
import them to Oklahoma City.
That opened the doors to a lot of people all over the world.
Yes, yes. Recently, I had a Dr. Paul Hegstrom from around the Denver area, too, on the other side, Arvada.
Yes.
And I don't know if you know him.
No, I don't know him.
He wrote the recovery program from Columbine.
Oh, okay, great.
Wonderful man. You need to get to know him. So we are just excited. Everybody's excited. This is a couple of days before Christmas, and families are going to get together, and everybody's anticipating that with great joy.
Right.
Or are they? Maybe
right.
Not. Maybe some people are nervous about seeing people they haven't seen for a while, or maybe the last time they saw them, it wasn't great.
Yes.
How do people handle that, Craig?
Well, you know, what I've been thinking, Carol, is that a lot of times people don't realize that that there really is a spiritual battle that takes place over families, and that there is a strategy, the enemy, that is on purpose designed to damage and harm relationships. And you know what I've found that the primary strategy is the enemy gets us to wound one another without really even knowing that we're doing it.
Right.
And so if I wound my son or I wound my wife or my husband and I don't know that I've wounded them, how much chance is there that I can repent?
Not much.
Yeah, zero. If I don't even know what happened and I get a reaction from a son or a husband or a wife, and I don't know that I did anything wrong or I don't know that I wounded them, I'm going to just think, well, that person has a problem. I think that person needs to go down to those heart mender meetings because they've got some kind of an issue they need some prayer for. And oftentimes the reality is I was just used by the enemy to wound my husband, wound my wife, wound my son or daughter, and not know that I did it.
Right.
And I think, again, of that scripture in Ephesians 6, it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. That's Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. And part of that passage that just jumped off the page at me was where it says the schemes of the devil. And I realize that many times it's not the devil or demonic spirits personally, but it is strategies that the kingdom of darkness sets up in my life that I don't even realize are working.
That's the truth. It just blindsides us. We don't know we're doing this. Are we responding in a certain way?
Right.
Are there some root issue in our life?
That's how it works in families and in marriages. I remember seeing a movie that was about the American Revolution. And I don't know if it was historically accurate or not, but the way this movie depicted it, you know, it was the British Redcoats were marching up the road to Concord and Lexington, and here came the American colonists out to meet them. And on the initial confrontation, before a war had even started, there was a line of British soldiers and a line of American colonists facing each other, and in between them were the two generals talking, the British and the American. But unbeknownst to anybody, over sort of behind a wall in the bushes was an arms dealer. And this guy didn't really care about the British, and he didn't care about the Americans. He didn't care about the politics. All he cared about was starting a war so that he could sell guns to both sides. So while nobody was looking, this arms dealer from behind the wall shot the second-in-command British officer, who fell over dead. And you can imagine what happened after that. The British commander immediately assumed that one of the American colonists had done that, so he withdrew from negotiation and gave the command to fire. So the British fired upon the Americans, and of course the American commander at that point then gave the command for his troops to fire, who then returned a volley of fire against the British, and the war was on. And that very first shot that was fired that started the American Revolution, they called the shot heard round the world.
Yes.
And I don't know if it was historically accurate or not, but the way this movie depicted it was amazing. It wasn't fired by either side. It was fired by a disinterested arms dealer who just wanted a war. And, you know, if you would have asked a British commander, who started the war? He would have said, they did. Unprovoked, for no reason, they shot my second-in-command officer and killed him, and we returned a volley of fire in self-defense. And if you were to talk to the American commander and you said, well, who started this? He would have said, they did. Unprovoked, for absolutely no reason, the British commander withdrew and commanded his troops to fire on us, and we returned a volley of fire in self-defense. And both sides would say, we didn't start it. We just responded in self-defense. And you know, Carol, I have found that that happens time and time again in families between husband and wife, between parents and children, where what's really taken place is there was a scheme or a strategy set up by the kingdom of darkness where somebody was used to take an emotional shot, so to speak, at another person. But it really was as if an arms dealer that was a totally disinterested party did that, and nobody recognized that they did it. So both sides will say, well, I just responded in self-defense. That other person attacked first.
That's so interesting, because that's exactly what happens.
Yeah, and neither side recognizes it. I mean, it's just amazing how that happens, where people wound each other, hurt each other. They don't know that they've done that. And again, if you were used as a pawn of the enemy, so to speak, to wound your wife, to wound your son, and you don't know that it happened, then when they respond and say, well, you hurt me, you said this, you said that, if you don't realize that that happened then, and you're blind to it, then you can't even repent. And that other person will look at you and say, well, how come you don't repent for what you did wrong? And you say, well, I didn't do anything wrong. You're just oversensitive. And the way that the scheme that I found, Carol, of how that works is most people are blind to what I call the relational level of communication. Most people are focused on a more external level I call the topical level of communication. So they're only looking at the topic. And topical communication is things we talk about in terms of where we might spend the holidays or how we would spend money or what jobs we have, what cars we drive, where we would take a vacation, how we discipline children. Those are all topics. But underneath all topical communication is what I call relational communication, and those are messages that we send to one another in the realm of identity. They're value messages. So I can send a message to another person that says you're very, very valuable. Your opinions count. Your feelings count. You're worth spending time with. And or I could send the opposite message, which is you're not valuable. You're worthless. Your opinions don't count. Your feelings don't count. You're not worth spending time with. And the problem or this strategy that the enemy uses is that most people are totally blind to the relational messages they send to other people. They don't realize they did that. And a lot of times relational messages are nonverbal. You know, people that study communication tell us that only 7% of a communicated message is in the words you say, another 38% is in voice intonation, and 55% in body language. So oftentimes you can think you're talking about a particular thing because of the 7% words that you're saying, but 93% of a relational message is being communicated to another person. You're stupid, or you're worthless, or you don't mean anything. And that's the message that wounds and hurts that people respond to, and the person who is used to send that message doesn't even know that the message was sent. It is as if the arms dealer took a shot from behind the wall, used my mouth, or used me to send a relational message to my wife or my children, you're stupid or you have no value. And the sad part is I'm totally blind to it. I don't know I did that, so I can't even repent.
I know. That happens so often in communication, just an inflection of the voice or something that you're not even aware of.
Yes.
Comes flying out your mouth.
Yes.
And you think you just talked about something, and they're going, why?
Well, that's exactly right. Or just a very, very simple thing sometimes, a tone of voice. You know, are you leaving those lights on again? And, you know, the relational message is, you're stupid, you don't value money, I work so hard to make money, and then you just spend it, and you don't even care about it. And for example, if a husband says that in that tone of voice, what he just said without realizing it is he just told his wife, you're an idiot, you're a fool, and that's going to wound her and hurt her. She's going to respond to that, and he's going to say, well, I didn't say anything. All I did was ask her if she were leaving some lights on.
Yeah.
What's the big problem with that?
Well, when we come back from this commercial break, we're going to talk about how to solve some of these problems. This is Carol Gordon and Craig Hill. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Hart Menders International, broadcasting on News Radio 1000 KTOK on your dial. Welcome back to Hart Menders International, coming to you on 1000 KTOK, your news radio station. I'm Carol Gordon, and my guest today is Craig Hill of Family Foundations International Ministries in Colorado. And Craig was describing the problem that most families have of unintentional wounding of one another. What do we do about that, Craig?
Well, Carol, the first thing is to recognize when you get a response from a husband, a wife, a son, a daughter, a parent, where they suddenly withdraw or they lash out at you in anger. You can be certain that if one of those two things happened, you were just used by the arms dealer, as it were, or by the enemy to send them a relational communication message. You're worthless. And the thing to do, rather than defending yourself, which is what most people do, most people say, well, what's wrong with you? Why are you angry at me? Or why are you responding that way to me? Why did you close up? Or why are you lashing out at me? Instead of doing that, just stop right then and ask the Holy Spirit, was I just used, Lord, to wound my husband, to wound my wife? And God will begin to open that up and show you. And I was just thinking of an example of some friends of mine, Carol, that I wrote about in the book Two Fleas and No Dog, which is on marriage. But this couple have four children, and the wife asked her husband one week. She said, "You know, I would like to go for the weekend on a retreat with some lady friends of mine, and just spend the weekend seeking the Lord about 2 hours away from home. Would you be willing to watch the children?" And the husband said, "Oh, yes, I'd love to watch the children for the weekend." So they arranged to do that, and so the weekend came, and she left with her friends on a retreat, and he was watching the kids. They had two younger kids and two teenage kids. Well, on Saturday, the oldest son said to his dad, "Hey, Dad, the state fair starts tomorrow, and could we go to the state fair tomorrow afternoon after church?" And the dad really didn't want to do that because his hometown NFL football team was playing a major game that day, and he had planned in his mind that he's going to stay home and watch the game. But, you know, as his son said that, he thought, "Well, okay, I'll die to myself, and I'll just record the game and bless my children and take them to the fair." So he said to the son, "Yes, I'll do that." So the next day they did that. In the afternoon, the father and the four kids went to the state fair, and just a little bit after they got there, his cell phone rang, and it was his wife. And he said, "Hi, honey, how's the retreat?" And she said, "Oh, it's going great. How's everything at home? How are the kids?" And he said, "Oh, they're fine." She said, "Well, where are you? It sounds like I hear a lot of noise. Did you go to a park or something?" And he said, "Oh, no, I took the kids to the state fair." She said, "The state fair? Without me?" And he said, "Well, yeah, you're at a retreat." She said, but every year we go to the state fair as a family. How could you take the kids to the state fair without me?" And he said, "Well, they asked, and I thought I was just trying to bless them." She said, "But don't you think I might want to go to the fair? Every year we go to the fair as a family. Why would you go without me?" He said, "Well, I don't know. I just thought they asked, so I took them." And she said, "I see. So you don't care about me. I'm not even a part of the family. I leave for 2 days, and you do a family event that we do every year as a family, and you exclude me. I guess you just don't love me. You don't care about me. You don't ever think about me. I'm not even a part of the family." And, of course, by this time, the husband didn't know how to respond, and they were in a big argument. And the point, Carol, is who planned that? Did the husband on purpose plan to wound and hurt his wife and make her feel abandoned and excluded?
Not at all.
Like she's not even a part of the family?
Not at all.
And, of course, the answer is no. And did... when this thing happened, the wife then began basically attacking her husband and saying, "You're a horrible husband. You don't love me. You don't care about me." And, of course, from his perspective, he was thinking, "Here I've died to myself. I would have preferred to stay home and watch the football game, but instead I'm trying to bless my children. I would have thought that she was calling to give me the Father of the Year award." No, instead she's calling up to criticize me and tell me what a horrible father what a horrible husband I am. And again, who planned that? Well, neither of them. It was the arms dealer that basically set them up. So what happened? Well, they ended up, this couple, in 2 weeks of conflict and wounding over that before it was resolved. And what neither of them recognized was, I didn't plan this, but what the husband didn't see is that I was set up without realizing it by not communicating with my wife, not calling her, which didn't even dawn on me. I have sent her a relational message that she's not a part of the family. I don't love her. I don't care about her. And how would he know that? Well, because he got an angry response. So what would he do to solve that? What he did was exactly the wrong thing. He defended himself. He said, "So I'm a horrible husband because I tried to bless my kids and take them to the state fair," which was, you know, defensive. Instead, what he could have done is, when he got an angry response from his wife, seemingly for no reason, instead of defending, he should have stopped right there and just prayed a quick prayer. "Lord, apparently I have been used by the enemy to wound her without even knowing it. How did that happen?" And, you know, if you can't get it from the Holy Spirit, here's a good way. Just ask your wife. Just stop and say, honey, did I just wound you and make you feel unloved? And then she would say, absolutely. And then it's a simple matter of saying, how did that happen? And she'd say, well, by not even communicating with me or calling me and just taking the kids to the state fair, which every year we go to as a family, you've made me feel unloved, uncared for, and excluded from the family. Then recognizing that, the way he would solve that is simply say, honey, I had no idea. I didn't see that. But now that you've shared that with me, I see that that's exactly what I've done. I was insensitive. I didn't realize that I had excluded you, but I can now see that I have. And that is so wrong. That's the last thing on earth I would want to do, is make you feel unloved and excluded from the family. Please forgive me. And if he did that sincerely from his heart, her heart would melt, and she'd forgive him, and relationship would be restored. Now, from the other side, what she could do is, what she did do when she felt abandoned, excluded, unloved, and wounded, is she began to attack him and send him a relational message, you're a horrible husband, you don't love me, you don't care about me, you are totally selfish. And, you know, maybe she couldn't stop herself from doing that, but as soon as he began to respond defensively, she could have realized, uh-oh, the arms dealer has set us up, and now I'm wounded, and now he's used me to wound my husband, and stop right there and just say, honey, have I just made you feel like you're a bad husband, like you're unacceptable in my sight? And he would say, absolutely. Then she could say, you know, I did that because I was wounded, I was hurt, and you know, you're a wonderful husband and father. Thank you for taking the kids to the state fair. And I'd like to just talk with you a little bit about what happened to me when I get home, but would you forgive me for attacking you and criticizing you? And immediately his wall would drop and they'd be back in relationship. Yes. What I found, Carol, is that what the enemy does in a family is uses a husband to send his wife a very simple message, you're not loved and you're low priority to me. And then he uses a wife to send her husband a simple message, you're unacceptable in my sight. In other words, you don't do what I want done and what I need done. And what both husband and wife, and actually that works the same way with the parents and children. The parents are like a husband. Send their children the message, you are not loved, you're not valuable, you don't have any capacity to make a wise decision. You're a fool. And the parents send the children send the parents back the message, I don't accept you. I reject you. There's nothing that you do that's right in my sight.
Right. And so for this Christmas, we are wishing that everyone humble themselves and ask the Lord to help them.
Yes.
To see things.
And when
accurately,
that strategy begins to work, then to stop and instead of defending, say, right. Well, wait a minute. Have I been used to wound a family member, and how can I repent and ask forgiveness?
Right, and we can all do that. And Heart Menders and Family Foundations, we have lots of help for you. Family Foundations website is www.familyfoundations.com, and Heart Menders is www.heartmenders.org. We'd love to help you. Have a Merry Christmas. And thank you, Craig, for being with us this week and last.
My pleasure, Carol.
Merry Christmas to you and your family. This is Carol Gordon, and thank you all for being with us on News Radio KTOK 1000. We trust this program is expanding your vision of healing in your life. You can have all the promises of help from heaven you'll pursue. Heart Menders has a free meeting every Tuesday at 7 o'clock, except this week and next week, at Faith Fellowship Church, 900 North May Avenue in Oklahoma City. Have a blessed holiday. Please call 405-495-HOPE if we can help you in any way. You may visit our website at www.heartmenders.org. Thank you for joining Craig and I. I'll see you next week. Blessings on you and your holiday from our Lord and Savior.